Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Word Sexy Radio for Monday, August 30th, 2010. I'm your host, Red Snapper, coming to you live from Kansas City, as I'll be doing every Monday at 6 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. We've got a fantastic show for you this evening. We have our special guest, author Andrea Renee Clinton, who is the author of the novel Life Knows No Bounds, One Who Loves You More. She'll be discussing her novel as well as talking about upcoming events. So just sit back and relax as you are now listening to Word Sexy Radio. Radio, and I'm your host, Red Snapper, and we're coming to you today on this lovely Monday as we are about to get into our interview with our lovely guest. But before we do that, we'd like to kind of give you a little bit of upcoming events that's going on here in the Kansas City area, and along with as well as with me, Red Snapper, some of the things that I'm doing. For some of you who may not know, there's going to be a literary conference that is going to be hosted here by the KC Girlfriends Book Club on September 17th through the 19th. And we're going to have an array of authors as well as vendors and people here selling their books. Eric Jerome Dickey is among those that are going to be here. And we're all going to be there setting up and trying to meet and greet everyone as we do our books and book signing. And there's going to be some conferences and things that's going to be going on during the conference, little, you know, workshops and things of that nature. So that's coming up as well. But and also, for those of you who want to listen to the show, you can always listen to the show on www.redsnappersplayhouse.com. And if you go there now, you'll be able to hear the streaming as we do this live. So, and anybody who has any questions for our author, the number is 347-215-8539, and this is Word Sexy Radio. So without further ado, what I like to do at this time is I like to bring in our special guest. Miss Renee, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you?
I am fine, and we're glad to have you on the show, and we just want to introduce you and give you a chance to tell people who you are and what it is that you do.
Well, my name is Andrea Clinton, and I'm the author of Life Knows No Bounds, One Who Loves You More. I'm also a publisher with a partner, Around the Way Publishing. I'm the editor-in-chief of Homicide Newspaper.
Okay.
Also a contributor in journalism and newspaper layout manager and so on.
All right. So you have a lot of hats that you wear.
Yeah. Also an English teacher.
Okay. Well, that's another hat. Okay. All right. So now that you've come on the show, like I said, this is Grown Folks Radio, so anything goes on this show. You know, we'd like to get into your story. Is this the first novel you have written, or is this one of many that, of course, I know is going to be more coming?
Well, this is the first one that I published in a novel. I did have several short stories that were published in newspapers, but this is the first actual novel that I've published.
Okay. All right, so What we usually do on this show is we ask a few questions about people that, because there's a lot of people that's out here that's interested in doing the publishing thing or trying to get their work done.
Yes.
So what we do is we try to give a little information, you know, to kind of help them out. Now, you said you have your own publishing company, so I assume that you went into the self-publishing arena before you got into doing this yourself. Is that true?
I'm sorry, repeat that again.
You are a self-published author, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Through my publishing company, Runaway Publishing, I did the first book. And I actually did that because one of the publicists that I had in the past just told me, like, why, you know, settle for the 25% when I could be the publisher and get the full 175 as a publisher and 25 for as the author. And so, you know, because of that, I just kind of went for it.
And, you know, a lot of people need to know this because, you know, a lot of authors that's been on this show, as well as others that are out there listening that are interested in getting into the literary game, it is a game, and it's just like getting into the music business and all that. You know, a lot of indie authors and all that that are people that are out there doing music. The reason why I always stress that on the show is because I'm self-published as well, and I think that it's a better way to do it because then you can keep all the money going into your company and keep everything
mm-hmm.
that's going to keep you afloat. And you have more what I like about it is that you have the control of how your product is going to be presented to the world. So can you kind of elaborate on that?
Well, the thing is, it is a job. It's not easy. I used to talk about it like how we drink water, just easy, like it, you know, was just, you know, like it's not complicated. But it's a lot involved. You definitely have to have done your homework before you get started. And I tell people that I had actually been reading about publishing for 10 years, and not that I wanted to be a publisher, but I wanted to know why they get 75%.
Right,
so, you
right,
know,
right.
I had been,
they don't...
I'm sorry.
What I was going to say, especially when they don't do any kind of marketing or anything for you, you have to still get
mm-hmm.
out there and hustle and market yourself anyway. So what
you
is
do.
It that they're doing that they get 75%, you might get 25%. You know, it's
yeah,
not
maybe.
Really that much at all. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
And you're right. And we try to stress that on the show. Those who are interested in going out and getting a publishing house to do their work for them, they're not doing anything but what I call pimping you. And I'm not trying to down those and people that do that, but
mm-hmm.
like you said, if you're bringing everything back into your own company, then you can use those resources to continue to go forth and do the marketing and things that you need to do anyway that you're going to have to do once
mm-hmm.
you get the book published. Because the hard work is not publishing the book. It's actually getting out and hustling and letting
it
people
is.
Know that you exist. So let's
yeah.
talk about that a little bit.
And also getting out and hustling and you know, selling from your car if you have to, and there's no shame in that game. Going up on, like in New York, I plan on going to 125th in Harlem and, you know, setting up out there and being an author out there, you know, autographing her book, you know, selling her book.
Right, yeah.
I mean, you just have to be, you know, ready. It's a job. It's really a job. If you're a publisher, author, it's a job. It's a buku job. And,
well, you know, even if you're just an author, I think it's a lot of work, too, because you got to get out there. Like you said, your brand is not the book, it's you. So you have to bring yourself, the brand, out so people know who you are, because why are they going to read your book if they don't know who you are?
Exactly. And one thing that I'm noticing, and I don't knock anybody's hustle because people do what fits their lifestyle, but I'm noticing that some people will, you know, go out, they'll get their book published, printed, and then they'll sell, and they have a certain amount that they want to sell per week. And as long as they keep that momentum up, they're comfortable. But this is like a part-time job for them or some extra cash. And if that's how they want to do it, you know, I don't mock anybody, you know, in what they want to do, you know.
Right.
But if you want to, like you said, if you want to be out there, you want your name out there, it's not going to just be you getting a little table downtown and doing
right.
it. That's going to be slow and coming. It's
right.
the internet. It's, you know, the Facebook thing. It's all these RSS feeds that you have to, you know, from time to time pay into to get your book out there on the internet. You know, it's just, it's so much. And the internet actually makes life much easier for us. I know myself, I look at the prices that some people charge. Some people are really decent. But I look at some of the prices that some people charge, and you kind of like, oh, you know, I don't really want to, but when you think about it, just the fact that it gets your name out there, one click, you know, one little click of the button gets your name out there to the masses, it's really worth it, you know, because
yes,
like I said, they need to know who you are.
Exactly. And you know, a book's lifespan is only maybe 6 months to a year or so, and that's just one of those books that happens to keep going. So the brand, like I said, has to be you. You have to be able to get people to want to read you. Just like, okay, we'll use Zane as an example. Now, people will pick up a book that has Zane's name on it just because it's Zane. They might pick up a book that has Zane Presents just because Zane's got her name, Zane Presents. They don't even care who wrote the book. They're just picking it up because of the brand. Zane has a brand now, and that's what authors need to do when they get out there is try to build the brand around the name and not just the books that are produced. So
that's true.
And that's what they have to do. But at this time, we got, if anybody out there wants to call in and speak to Andrea, the number is 347-215-8539. This is Word Sexy Radio, and I think this is a great conversation because we're speaking to the phenomenal Andrea Clinton, who is definitely doing and
Thank
wearing
you.
All these hats, doing a lot of things. So, and like I said, you know, I'm learning because when I do this show, this is another avenue for me to get out as well as Red Snapper. And I also write in other genres as well. I do paranormal and different things. But you're right when you said that the internet is a place to get out because, you know, now anybody can really publish. The thing is, it's getting out there and like you said, making a name and making a brand. You know, a lot of people think that you make a book, you get a book printed, you get it published or whatever, and it goes on a shelf and it's just going to sell. Well, we know that's not true, don't we?
No, exactly. It's not true. It's definitely not.
Right.
And a lot of times, a lot of times people think that, you know, like, for example, I'm rebinding my book, recovering it. And and pretty much most people know that already because they'll see I have both pictures up on Facebook, the one that was, which I call the collector's edition, because once we rebind, it's not going to be there anymore. And
right,
so,
right.
In recovering the book, it's going to open up another, you know, variety because the picture is on point. This picture is very much on point. I was trying to be a rebel the last time, and we ended up paying for it a little bit. I tried to, you know, be a little artistic with it or whatever, but, you know, it was two different things I was trying to do. And in the book business, everything is antiquated here. It's old. Books sell. The book cover sells, so you have to be on point with the book cover. You put it up on the shelf. You know, you got a lot of competition. You know, like you said, the bookshelf life is only, what, 6 months to about a year, but unless you're pumping it. And then you got to pump it. I mean, it's like a Beyonce or somebody going on tour. You have to just, like, get out there and put it with stars and glitter all around it and just make people want to just, you know, come out and say, what is this about? I keep seeing this tag going, Andrea Clinton in this book. Let me get it to read it and see what, you know, what the hype is about or why I keep hearing her name. You have to get out there and do it like that. And because if you don't, you know, there's a consequence to suffer, you know, from, like you said, books just sitting up on the shelf.
Right. And, you know, my thing is you're right. If you don't do it like that, that's why I said it's like the music business or any other business where there's a hustle. First of all, you got to be able to want to get out there and do this. It's not just being a writer.
Exactly.
You know, you got to want to be able to get out there. And if you can't do it, then you need to find somebody that can or just don't do it at all because it's just this game will, like you said, you'll be left behind. And there's everybody's writing now. I mean, you got urban fiction writers now. You know, everybody's changing their hustle. You know, they're going from drugs to books, and they're using the same hustle that they did to make it in the game of drugs or whatever, and now they're doing books or whatever the product they had. They just changed the product, but it's the same style. You got to have that in you to be able to sell these books because that's what it's about. And first of all, you got to love writing. You got to love doing this because if you don't, then this is the wrong one to be in. If you're trying to get rich quick, then this isn't it. So.
Yeah, this isn't it. Exactly, because it takes time, everything. Like, even with our publishing company, before we take on new authors, we're trying to establish a foundation. And basically, we only want to take on authors who, they have a certain something in their writing that nobody else has out there. And so I get a lot of people who will email and who will say, you know, I have this book, and they'll, you know, say what it's about. I prefer to see the first two couple of chapters because I know it's a typical usual, but I'm very stern with it. I write, but I'm not particular about reading. you know, other people's work. And a lot of times it's because I'm so involved in, you know, my own writing or whatever, to stop and read somebody else's is pulling me away from, like, that time in I could have had in my next novel or, you know, editing my novel or something.
Right.
So, you know, when you and something else I want to kind of add a little bit or talk a little bit on. I think what needs to start happening out here is I think that people need to decide what it is they want to do. Because I think what's happening, I've talked to people on Facebook, and a lot of them are getting frustrated. I already know of a couple of them that have pulled out. I won't mention any names, but, you know, they've gotten frustrated, and they pulled out because they said it's just too much. So what I would say to anybody is when you come in, if you are a writer, write. You know, take classes, better yourself with your writing and everything. Learn formats and different things like that, what works. I experimented a little bit, but I had a don't care attitude, you know, because I felt like worst case scenario, I'll just fix it the next go around. But, I went out there and I experimented, but I knew I wasn't, you know, doing the traditional and conforming to the norm. But you have to really get out there. I mean, I knew better. I knew, you know, how to better format and how to lay it out and what to do and, you know, different things. I just was a little rebel. I have a degree in English, so, you know, I definitely, you know, knew what I was doing. And I actually played tug of war with my editor. But some people have to decide if they want to be a writer, you need to nurture that. You need to get out and educate yourself. You need to take some classes. Even every now and again, I would love to even take a class, you know, because it'll, you know, just kind of help you refreshing or touch up on your writing skills. And then those who are writers that have become publishers, they need to decide, because it was good to do that to get your first book out, but you got some people out there who are publishers who don't mind. If you have the writing skills, they don't mind publishing your book so long as, you know, your writing is good. So, and I'm saying this because, like I said, a lot of people are doing both, and then they're just stopping everything. And maybe you were really supposed to be a publisher because you have that knack for finding a good book and, you know, putting it out there and giving it the exposure and, you know, making it available for the readers. Or maybe you're a writer but not necessarily a publisher. I just hate to see people throw it all in because it was a bit much. Because, like you said, this is a job and a half. It's real.
Yes, you know? It is. And I know that for a fact. Like I said, I have 6 novels out there myself, and they've all been self-published. I have a company that I've started called Midwest Publishing Group, which it's really an umbrella for 3 publishing companies under this umbrella. There's a urban fiction publishing company under there. There's a erotic fiction company, and then just plain contemporary. So those things we're working with. And like I said, the foundation, I'm getting that together before I actually start signing authors to actually do things. Because like you said, you got to look at what it is that you want to do. My thing is the creativity that you have as a self-publisher, those things you won't have. A lot of people don't understand that when you go through a major publishing company, you don't pick the cover. You can't decide how long the book's going to be. They'll tell you might have to cut it down or whatever. There's a lot of things that happens that you don't think you get. The only thing that I know that a major company will do is they'll make sure you get distribution. But you can do that yourself if you just talk, and you can get consignment deals. And all you have to do is you might have to pay Amazon. It's like $50 a year or so or whatever to do that, and they'll distribute your stuff. You know, a lot of people don't know that, but they think that when they go to these big companies that, okay, yeah, they'll get you in stores, they'll get you in Walmart and all this stuff, but if your books are not selling within 2 or 3 years, guess what? The money they gave you in the beginning, you have to pay it back because they want that money back that they gave you because the books didn't sell. So, I mean, it's just like I said, they're pimping you. They're using you for a product that you have that they hope will sell, and if it doesn't, they'll drop it. But as a self-publisher, you can make those decisions on your own whether you should continue to do that or, you know, you bring out other products. So I know I said
there. No, that's good. And the thing is, but the thing also, too, some people, they don't want to be bothered with the self-publishing because, you know, they just want to be picked up. I think it's different strokes for different folks. Personally, if I knew for a guaranteed fact that someone would pick my book up, I probably would have went for it, but I could, and to be honest with you, I could have actually done it because I was working on a biography of my uncle, George Clinton, the Problem of Funkadelic.
I was going to ask you about that, but you know, somebody, I didn't want to put that together.
Okay. But it was me, my father, and my uncle. We were talking, and my grandfather had died in 2002, and we were talking about the documentary. We were talking about the book. We were kind of back and forth, and we did a lot of research and everything. And so I could have, and I actually, the publicist I had at the time, she she was pushing me to do that book and then to go into fiction. But then she said, I'm just going to let you know, when you do that book, you're going to get picked up because he's a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, you know. She
right,
said,
exactly.
So you're going to get picked up by a major publisher. She said, but I can tell you then at that point, they probably only want you to do nonfiction. And I said,
right.
I don't want to just do nonfiction. I'm fiction.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I can do nonfiction because, you know, as an English teacher, you teach your kids how to, you know, do research and everything.
Right.
But I said, that's not me. I'm fiction all day, every day. I write screenplays. I write plays. I write fiction stories. I do poetry. I was like, and she just told me, she said, but at least you'll get your name out there, and then after a while, maybe you can get them to trust you. And so because of that, it kind of turned me off. I would have loved to be picked up because I really, all of this extra work right here, now I'm doing it for a different reason. Now I'm doing it, again,
right.
just for myself to get it out there, but also because if there's someone else with potential, that maybe someone else, because this whole urban thing is really picking up. And so if
right.
there's
really
someone
is.
Else with potential, yeah, it is. And if someone has potential and they come with their book and it's a really good book and it's interesting, we'll put our money behind it and we'll support it. We'll even do, we're doing educational books and we're doing self-help books. You know, we have
right.
some things that are being worked on, but we'll do it all if it shows some potential. That's just good business. But also if a person has, you know, great writing skills, we'll take them on as well. But for myself, I would love to be picked. You know why? Because this right here, it is a job. And if someone saw my work, I have that much confidence in my writing that if some one of the big publishers saw my work, that they would pick it up. But then now we got to go to the negotiation table because I feel like I kind of know my work, you know? So I would
well,
say
yeah,
different strokes for different
yeah.
folks.
Right.
But
yeah, I like
you're
that.
Right.
I like how you explained all that. That's really good because people that are interested out there that's listening, they definitely need to know that, you know, because, you know, like you said, it depends on what you want to do as far as what you want to do. And I tried mm-hmm. to do that myself where I wanted to, you know, get picked up. But then once I kind of found out the game a little more and seeing what was
yeah.
really going on, and I've also talked to other people that's doing urban fiction with these other companies. I'm not going to say none of the names of them because,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't want to do that. But they're having problems with these urban fiction publishers as well because they're, like you said, the hustle they had before, you know, has just changed to a different product. So, you know, you know, they're using these things to get over on some people, you know, and I don't want to, like I said, I don't want to put any bad press out on nobody, so I won't do that. But the
mm-hmm.
thing is, you know, you just got to decide, like you said, what it is that you want.
Mm-hmm.
Once you do that, then you got to do your research and go for it.
That's right.
And that's what
that's
you have
right.
to do. And that's what I'm trying to do. And like I said, now you say you do screenplays, so I'm definitely going to talk to you because I'm in the process of trying to get that done for one of my books. Because I want to try to get that, of course, toward the movies. There has been someone that has kind of approached me with that. But still, I want to, you know, try to get that done because I want it to be done correctly. If nothing else, maybe you can give me some instruction on that. So we'll talk
oh,
about
that
later.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, for sure, that's fine.
But my thing is, okay, at this time, let me put the number out again just in case somebody's out there listening has want to call in. The number is 347-215-8539. And this is Word Sexy Radio, and we're speaking with Andrea Clinton, who is the author of the novel Let Life Knows No Bounds, One Who Loves You More. Now, we didn't really, we're going to start talking. We got about 36 minutes left, so we need to get some time in for your book. Tell us what gave you the idea for the book and how did you, what inspired you to go for this title and this book. You can kind of
well,
give a synopsis of what the book's about and all that, too.
Okay. Well, the book is, the chronicle is called, or the series is called Life Knows No Bounds. And I'm going
okay.
to, God willing, I'm going to write five volumes in the course of years from now to whenever. It could be 10, 15, 20 years or whatever. But
right.
each volume will have five books. And but they'll all be titled Life Knows No Bounds. It's just the subtitle will change. And the reason why I did that is because the goal is to try to reach out to the masses, because all of us, as unique as beautiful as we are, as we're all one, we still are very unique. And each of us have our own lifestyle, our own way of living, example being the classes. You have your poor, your middle class, your rich. And what I'm trying
right.
to do is I'm trying to attack the different lifestyles that are happening to show the people what actually happens to each one of us. Like a lot of us poor people wish we were rich because we think they have it good, but we all know, like Biggie said, more money, more problems, you know.
Right.
But what these books will do is they will each discuss different main characters' life and what's happening in them and show them the different things that they're faced with in life and the decisions that they have to make because of the rug that has been snatched from under them. And they're written in the realism genre, and I'll just give a real quick about it. Realism, of course, is real-life situations written in fiction. Realism stems naturalism, which is based on the Darwin's theory of why people do things. Darwin claims that everything is done by instinct. And basically the instinct, you have a situation that happens to you, and you have to make a decision on how you have to deal with it. And he says that we deal with it based on our instincts. And we know, as God-fearing people, that is somewhat true. Yeah, we do make some decisions based on our instincts. However, sometimes things like environment and beliefs, the way we're raised, those kind of things do come into play. So with that being said, One Who Loves You More is the first book in the series, and it basically talks about Alisa, who is a gold digger. And she's following her mentors. Tracy and a few others, they get out there and they use men for money to the point of these men really believe, like, oh, yeah, that's my woman. Alisa's my woman. Tracy's my woman. And as soon as they drop them off, another man comes and picks them up and takes them out, and he's claiming the same thing. And they get these men for everything from money, jewelry, credit cards, and everything. And they think it's good, but the older women are telling them, you need to stop, you need to get it together. And the main character, Alisa, when her mother and them get on her, she decides, okay, I'm going to outflick them. I'll get one man who's going to take care of me. And she happens to stumble upon Omar. And when she does, he's much different now than he used to be. He used to be a little snot-nosed kid that was, you know, kind of bummy dressed and everything. And now he's driving a Cadillac, and he's, you know, almost kingpin status. So she decides to get him. But he has his own little skeletons in the closet and his own issues. He's a Muslim, African-American Muslim, and his family has kind of fallen off of practicing Islam, and he's trying to get back into it, but at the same time, he's caught up in the street. And so he had his own little battle going on when she came with her drama, so it's like now Clash of the Titans. You know, he got his struggles, but he wants to be with her. She's a gold digger, and she's a gold digger, but she begins to like him, and she's kind of like stumbling on whether or not she should, she's riding that fine line of whether or not she should just go ahead and, you know, calm down and be what he wants her to be, you know, somebody and stop using men for money, or if she should, you know, do like the other women are doing and still getting men for the money. So this battle goes on through the book, and it's like a lot of drama, everything from shootouts to murders to, you know, just a whole bunch of drama. You pretty much can name everything that's in here, but it's very, very real life-like. And I've had a lot of compliments from a lot of people, even some professional reviewers who have said that it's very true to life.
And I believe that. And I would definitely like to get a copy. And we're going to give you a chance to tell our listening audience how they can get these books and how they'll be able to contact you if they want to bring you in for like a book signer or something like that. Mm-hmm. So if you don't mind at this time, you can probably go ahead and kind of give that information. So how can they get this book?
Well, you can get the book on Amazon.com. It's up on eBay.com. Of course, you'll just go there and then you'll type in the title. Excuse me. And where is it on? It's on BookHub, www.bookhub.com. And it's even on BarnesandNoble.com. So all of your major online places. It's also sold at Novelties in East Orange, and we're working on getting it in Humans and Azizi, and I believe that's in Chicago. And Humans is in Harlem, New York. So we're trying to get it out there into the stores, but, you know, that seems like a job and a half.
Well, yeah, it is. And, you know, I'm still trying to get that done myself, and I'm trying to get my book in Novelties. I don't know I got to work on trying to do that. But anyway, you know, it's just like you said, it's a thing that you have to do, and it's constant work. I mean, you just have to do it. You can't get frustrated.
It's repetition. Yeah,
right.
You can't. It's a lot of repetition. You have to do it. You have when it does. Like for example, I won't name any bookstore, but I have one bookstore I've been calling for like about 4 months. And I know that they're busy, but at the same time, you know, it's like, you know, come on, because once you get it in there, it's on. They're going to have it in their inventory, and when people buy it, they're going to want to replace it with more. So, you know, they'll call you or they'll call the distributor or whoever. But, you
Don't
know, it's like
you said. Maryland.
Say it again, I'm sorry.
That don't say that bookstore is in Maryland. Anyway, I'll just leave it.
Oh, no, it's not. It's not. It's up, it's further up north, but
okay.
But it's just, you know, hard. It's hard to, you know, and I guess they have their business and things that they're trying to do as well.
Right.
But it is a job, and I would tell anybody, when you're going to be a publisher, I would just be really honest about it. Go ahead and do it the right way. Go to Amazon.com, buy your books, How to Be a Publisher, read them, have them right there for every step that you have to make, even if you got to pull something up on the wall, step one, step two, you know, and really follow it, because it does make life easier than just finding
right.
out by, you know, tripping over everything or making mistakes and you know, it costing you money.
Right.
It only makes life easier for you. As a matter of fact, and if you can write a marketing plan or write one, and if not, hire somebody to write you a marketing plan, because that's what's going to get you into the Baker and Taylor, or what's going to get you a distributor, you know,
right.
a really good marketing plan. But you can't. I know some people are starting their publishing companies and they're not doing the distribution or trying to even go for Baker and Taylor. They're just doing it and selling it online. And that's good, but do we really want to sell it book by book? Like, we should really be pushing to sell them by cases if we're publishing. You know,
exactly.
We want libraries to buy them by the case. You know, especially your hometown library, they should be
yeah.
buying them by the case. You know,
yeah.
so.
You're right. You know, my thing is and I don't know if the hard copy book is going to be around. Maybe, I'm not going to put a time frame on it, but, you know, a lot of people are going to these Kindle machines and stuff and these different, downloadable, you know, like the PDF versions of the books. So those are
mm-hmm.
selling as well. But, yeah, you're right. You definitely got to get out there and, you know, you got to get your inventory and you just got to try to get these books, like you said, in bulk, not just one book
yeah.
at a time, but try to get the bulk sales. You know,
no, my book is also on, I'm sorry, my book is also on Kindle. For
okay.
right now, I'm going to try to Nook, I'm going to try to Sony. You know, it's just, you know, you have to be an octopus in this business. And right now I have an office manager, and she's, you know, assisting me with a lot of different areas. And then my partner is my manager as well as the publicist. So, you know, we're kind of like, you know, branched out and doing a lot of things, but you have to be an octopus in this business because there's
right.
so many areas. One area can open up into like three or four different things. And like you said, you get in the bookstore, you're trying to get the libraries to buy them, you have your e-books, you know, you have your pod, you know, it's just so much. You want to get it with Lightning Source because they're going to offer you a lot of publicity in their catalogs, and they're going to distribute nationally and internationally. It's just, it's a lot. And that's why I tell people,
right.
is just really do your homework before you invest your time and your energies, because this is the deal for me. I mean, Around the Way Publishing is here, and whatever bumps in the road we have to go through, we will weather those bumps. If a tsunami comes, we will just rise when the tsunami, you know, subsides. But Around
exactly.
the Way Publishing is here, and the people, when you decide that you want to do a publishing company, you have to have that mentality. Come, you know, hell and high water, we are here. And if you feel
right.
like, okay, I'm going to give it a shot, or let's see what happens, then you really shouldn't do it, because I guarantee you anything that can go wrong will go wrong. And I
right.
had that situation a couple of days ago, Friday. I was so tired of everything going into the next week. I said, no, today, everything's going to happen today. And I made it happen, but I needed Tylenol right after.
I understand. Yeah, well, that's what you
yeah.
have to do, and you definitely got to do it. It's a full-time job, really. And
it is.
I'm seeing that myself. You know, right now I'm still working a job, but eventually, hopefully, that will change as I
yeah.
build this company, because that's the goal. The goal is to get this company built up to a point
mm-hmm.
where that's all you're doing, and that's what you want to
yeah.
do. And like you said,
it's taking care of itself.
Right, right. And you know,
mm-hmm.
it's not easy, and I don't expect it to be thrown at me. You know, you just got to get out there and work at it and just do it. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff that I want to kind of dabble in. And like I said, the books, well, I write erotic fiction, so my books are they're risque. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's a lot of stuff there. So people are a little more, I'll say some people are more scared, especially African-Americans are a little more scared of the risque, or they're the kind of people that would say, I'm not going to read that in front of their friends, but then they turn around behind their back like, hey, I want to get that. Where can I get it? You know, that
yeah.
kind of stuff. So, you know, it's the marketing of it is a little different. You still have to market it just like you're doing. But, you know, like you said, right now the urban fiction is really big because, you know, it's talking in the language of the people that's reading it. They don't have to be smart to read the books. You know, I'm not saying
yeah.
that they're not, but you know what I mean. You know, there's
yes.
there's the Ebonics, there's the, you know, the, I mean, everything is there for them, you know, so the I-8s and all this is there.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't have to really get into it. They can understand if it's a story that's really well written and told well, that they can relate to, then that'll give them, you know, that'll make them want to read it. So,
yes.
You know, you just got to find your demographic.
It's relatable.
Uh-huh. You got to find a demographic. And you know, my thing is they want all this stuff. But, you know, like I said, I'm just trying to write, and I want to write in different areas. My training, I don't have a degree in English, but I have a history degree, and I have a master's in education. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I have some education of writing experience. So, but I don't have, and I've taken a lot of writing classes. I just didn't get a degree in writing. But my thing is, you know, you just got, like you said, you got to get out there and study and get yourself better at it so that you can do better. And hopefully, as you do the books, your books should get better. But my thing is the editing. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Editing is a headache. You know, sometimes you can get some editors that are good, but then they'll, you know, it's just not, you got to find a great editor. That's all I got to say.
Well, once you find a good editor, I would tell anybody stick to them. Maybe what will happen is you'll develop a relationship, and if they normally charge $1,500, maybe they'll come down to $12 so long as you let them edit every book. And I made the mistake. I let one editor get away. I don't know what I did. I have to investigate. I don't know what I did wrong. I think what could have possibly happened was the distributor, you know, they have their own time frame because of the industry standards. And so because of that, I didn't bring it to her in time, and she took a really huge project. And, you know, because, you know, I had to, you know, follow their time frame with different things that had to be done. And then prioritizing, I just didn't get it to her, and somebody beat us to the punch. But I kind of regret it because we meshed well. You know, when I said something, she would let me know, you can't, no. You know, you just can't do it this time with this. And then when I did have a little room to maneuver around, she would say, okay, that's what you want, that's fine. You know, but I have a couple more editors that I did mesh well with, but she was from New York and I was from Jersey. Yeah, we were both black. We both lived in the inner city. So I kind of felt, and she was educated, so I felt like she was a little younger than me, but it was okay because the areas that we were touching on, it didn't matter, you know, but it just seemed like a really good fit. So I'm going to keep plugging away until I can get her back.
I know that's right. That's what you have to do. Yeah. Once you get the good people that can work for you and work with them, you know, you just got to try to do what you can to try to keep them. You know, And that's important, is having a team that will be there for you and help you and give you the right things you need, the tools you need to go for. And that's what I need. That's a problem that I got right now. I need to get a great editor.
Don't look in your hometown. My editor, even though she lived in New York, which was right there, we did everything over the internet. We sent it back and forth.
Well,
I think we talked on the phone a few times, but we did everything, PayPal, everything. And it didn't matter if I was there or she was there. I paid her half before we got started, and then the other half after. I believe that's how we did it. And
good. That's what I want to do.
Yeah, and then I think she did, like, because I was a little nervous about her editing and then sending it to me, and that's that. So I asked if she could, before she sent it to me, just do a double edit. And, you know, she went over it again. She even caught a few, you know, things by going over it again. So, I mean, like I said, it was a good relationship. And God willing, you know, I can get that back. I'll try to catch her. Maybe I'll write her every month just to, you know, try to jump in ahead of somebody before they call her or something.
Yeah, I hope you can get her. You know, that's good because, like I said, I'm still learning. And that's why I do this show, cause to talk to different people who's in the game, who's been doing this, so that we can learn. You know, so and that's what it's all about. Not to step on everybody. It's enough out there for everybody. You know, sometimes you get some authors and they think that, you know, they can't help another because they think that you're going to be taking their business or whatever. But I mean, it's enough out there. It's enough people out there to read what we have. You know.
It's enough people, but, you know, also they have to think about, like, okay, you have a million books out there, right? Let's just say, for example, in your typical bookstore on the corner in your neighborhood, they may have about 50 different books or 100 different books. When you divide that up between the different genres and you divide it up between this one reader's favorite genre, she only reads urban and we write urban or we write drama or love, whatever, you know. And so by the time she goes there, she's, you know, a really avid reader will finish a book in a couple of days. So she probably will have run through every book in that genre in that bookstore within maybe a month, maybe two, you know.
Exactly.
I mean, give or take work or school or whatever. So, but my point is it's no need to fuss and fight and, you know, be stingy with information and everything. I mean, I know some people say, well, I did the homework myself. If that's the attitude they want to take, fine. They did the homework themselves. Nobody helped them. They did it on their own. You know, that's fine. I don't knock anybody because people, you know, we all have different beliefs. But I know me, I'm always giving information. I mean, a lot of new authors will write me. One of them, he asked me, he was actually writing me so that I can consider his work. And
right.
He asked me, how did I become a publisher? I began telling him. So he said, you know what, I want to do that. So then I told him everything he needed to know. And every now and again, he writes me, and I sent him, like, almost 2 pages worth of information to help. And he told me he couldn't believe how much I was helping him because for months he had been asking people, and nobody would either answer him back or they would tell him a little something, and you know. But, in some, like I said, some people, like you said, they are looking at it like it's competitive. And it is. It's competitive when the book is on the shelf. But, like I
right.
said, there is enough for everybody because, I mean, this person is going to read your book and then they're going to be done. And they're going to go
exactly.
out and they're going to buy another book and another
right.
and another and another.
They're going to pass it on to somebody else. Exactly. They're
going
yeah. to pass it on or whatever because, you know, that's what we do. You know, the African-American community,
mm-hmm.
somebody get a book and it's real good, they pass it to the next person and
mm-hmm.
they may not buy it, but it's, at least the book's getting read. But the thing is
mm-hmm.
you know, they're going to, it's going to get, it's enough. Like you said, it's enough for everybody to be able to have a chance to
mm-hmm.
to read you. But the thing is that you have to deal with is, or that you have to work with, is wanting them to read you. You got to be able to have something for
yeah.
them that they will want to read. And
mm-hmm.
and I think that, you know, people, if you got it, if it's there, then they'll do it. You know, just,
mm-hmm.
and I'm the same way. Whatever I can know, I will try to tell people. You know, I don't try to hold anything because, you know, I know that, you know, I mean, it's hard out here. And why
mm-hmm.
hold it back? I mean, you know, it's not like you're going to make, if you do make more than me, so what? It's not even about that. To me, I like writing. First of all,
yeah,
I think
yeah.
if you're going to be in this, you shouldn't be trying to do it for the money, even though the money is you're going to get money. That's good. You want money. But the thing is you still want to, you should have a love for this because they'll take
mm-hmm.
time out to do all the things that you have to do to get this book out there. You know,
mm-hmm.
if you don't love it, then you shouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm. Really, because what happened is, I really can't imagine. I mean, I'm sure somebody out there just wrote a book for whatever reason, but I can't imagine the time and effort that has to go into writing a book. I cannot imagine someone writing a book and not having a love for writing, unless they just have a story they want to tell. Like some
right.
people have been, you know, physically abused by their husband, by their parents, or
right.
raped or molested, and they want to talk about that experience. So that I can understand, but just a person writing a book, I don't see it. I feel like they must have some kind of love for writing, unless they
right.
just have one story that they want to tell. But
you would hope so.
Yeah,
know, would
I mean,
it, yeah.
You have
like
to have a knack for it. You can't. I just, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I just can't imagine somebody just picking up a pen and saying, "I'm getting ready to get my hustle on," because it doesn't work like that.
It sure
you know?
Doesn't.
It
really doesn't.
Does.
That's true. Yep,
you know,
right.
unless you have a story that, you know, you think people want to know, or there's something that's not being addressed that you feel needs to be addressed, it has to be something, you know, something specific or something, you know, that's a little different or whatever that's going to make people want to, you know, buy it. You just, I don't know. I just can't imagine. I mean, I know there's some
right.
people that, I mean, from what I hear, I'm just starting to get on Facebook some months ago. I mean, I had an account
right.
for a long time,
right.
but
right.
somebody made me get an account. I think one of my cousins made me get an account. And,
right.
But as far as actually getting on it religiously, I just started doing that some months ago, and just posting
right.
things and, you know, throwing things up there, and then the fan page and all of that. But
right.
from what I've seen, a lot of people complain that people are just randomly going and getting these books. And or
right.
writing these books, and
right.
you know, I don't, you know, the complaints. And,
yeah, I got it. I understand.
And
well,
I haven't. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Finish your statement.
I was going to say I haven't seen, you know, with my own eyes what they're talking about because I'm too busy doing the publishing thing, and I would love to get back to the point where I can be creative and write, but I haven't seen a lot of their complaints. But there's a lot of complaints about. People just, you know, getting the pen and writing, and, you know, people complain, like, what are you writing about, or what are you talking about, or what's wrong with the editing, or, you know, different things like that. And it's just
yeah.
not good. You know, it goes back to,
well, you know,
okay, anything that you do, do it well.
Yeah, you want to make sure it's done well, but sometimes, you know, I think people take And I guess because you're an English major and, you know, you got your degree in it, and not necessarily because you have that, but some people, you know, they I guess a lot of these book clubs, because, you know, that's another way of you getting your book out there. A lot of book clubs, if they are real stricklers on punctuation and stuff like that, then they'll complain.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're, if the person, because a lot of times the person might be writing and they may not have that good editor or whatever, but if they're trying to get it out there and they're trying to get a good story out there, you got to look at the content. I think that's important as well. I mean, yeah, you want to try to present your work the best as you can, but you may not have the resources all the time, and you just happen to get the book out there. The content, I think, is important. If the story is good, then, you know, if there is one punctuation that might be wrong or might be the wrong word or something, you know, I mean, that's something that you got to try to fix, of course, but I'm not saying that, you know, you should let them go. But I think that, you know, they should kind of see that. You know, if it's just somebody just throwing something out there, just be throwing it out there, then I can understand that. But, you know, some people, I mean, you know, they're, I don't know. I don't know how to explain that. It's just that
I
think the content is more important than, you know, how many periods or, you know, or dots or whatever. You know, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it does. And I understand what you're saying. And I agree with you, but I have to say, I think what happens is if you get a person who writes a book, let's say they are pretty good at writing, but they could really use some classes. But, you know, for the most part, if they were to tell a story, it would be just as impeccable as, you know, them writing it in the book because they have that knack. But then they write this book and they put it out there and they don't have the grammar skills down because, you know, there's grammar skills, but then there's skills for writing fiction.
Right.
You know, for example, you have to know when you start a quote and then you put a comma to narrate and then you pick that quote right back up where it was. You have to know that first quote that you started is a capital letter, but then when you narrate it and you pick that quote up again from where you left off, that is not a capital letter. You see?
Right.
And if they don't know that, they have all, I mean, I know what you're saying, like, it's not going to hurt the content because the message in the book, if there is one, is still there. And although that is true, this is what a lot of writers complain about and a lot of publishers complain about because a lot of people began to self-publish because the other publishers wouldn't pick them up. So they ran to Ex Libris and they ran to Author House and a bunch of these other Vantage publishers, you know, to try to get these things done because the other publishers wouldn't touch them. And not so much because you know, publishers have their own editor, so they can put someone on it, but then you have sometimes it's just the skill or the lack of storytelling, you know. It's various reasons, but the thing is they all complain not just about, oh, we didn't pick them because that person didn't tell us the story or we weren't interested. Sometimes it's like the full package. Sometimes it's not just that person didn't have a good editor. And then think about it. If you have a really great story to tell, and it's very interesting, and you know, like, this story is the bomb.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you want to just take a minute, even if you have to wait a season, you know, and just get you a good editor who can, you know, go through it and make it right? You know what I mean? Like, because this is a great story that you have. It's like, I guess, taking pride in your work type of thing. And, yes, you know, like I said to one editor, he told me, he said, ma'am, he said, you wouldn't be able to afford me. He said, I've edited for Oprah and, you know, people like that. He said, there's no way. And so he referred me to somebody else who I still couldn't afford but was less than him. And we began to talk, and he gave me some tips. And he said, you know, he said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, he said, what do you want from your editor? I said, I want my book to be perfect. He said, you're never going to get it. And I just paused. I was driving. I just stopped. I said, huh? He said, you're never going to. He said, if you want the editing job to be perfect, you're never going to get it. He said, they make mistakes. He said, I'm just letting you know. He said, but what you want is someone who knows what they're doing because you'll have less or very few mistakes. So, you know, yeah, those human errors, you know, that you overlooked or an oversight, you know, but not like every page. Many, many years ago, maybe about 10 years ago, I read a book. I just was sitting around bored, and I picked it up, and I just started reading. And it was so interesting. But you know what was making my stomach hurt? The spelling errors, you know, using their, T-H-E-I-R, instead of T-H-E-Y, apostrophe R-E. And not because I'm a teacher, because some of these things somebody in elementary school could have, you know, seen. But what I found out later was that it was an advanced review copy. Like, they purposely didn't have the things in there spelled right because they didn't want it to be sold. It was supposed to be sent out for the bookstores and for the reviewers. So I said, oh, okay, good, because it was like making my stomach. I was like, are they serious? So you don't want to turn people off like that. And I understand what you're saying, like they should focus. I mean, if it's done, it's done. And they should focus on the content and try to get something from it. But, you know, we're all different walks of life, and we, you know, all have different opinions about different things. And some people will judge you, like they'll judge a book cover. Some people will judge the grammar. They'll judge the mistakes, you know. They'll say, that isn't, like somebody said on Facebook one day, I still laugh about it to this day. Someone said, I'm tired of all of these urban books where someone goes and they kill someone. Oh, no, a woman goes and she kills someone, and then she jumps in her porch and drives back to her mansion and sips on a glass of wine by the pool. And I almost fell out because I've read some, but I haven't read any urban books like that. And I don't know what book she read, but she was like so fired up. She was so angry. She said, I'm sick of all these urban, but she said, nobody does that. Like nobody really from the hood is doing that, and nobody from the middle class is, you know, acting so hood rat like, and then going back to their mansion. So, you know, that you have to watch those kind of things in the content. Like you put some shootouts and some different things, and yeah, you got everybody excited, but is it really real?
Right.
So it's a lot that you have to. That's why I say classes and always polishing your skills. Like I say, even myself, I have a degree in film and English. In journalism, but I still have to polish my skills, especially because the three writings are totally different. And I've mixed. I've done it. I've put in the format for film in my fiction and vice versa.
Right. So okay, we got about 8 minutes left. So what I want to do at this time before we sign off is to kind of give people what's next for you. What do you got coming up? And then we'll go from there.
Well, in the spring season, we're going to have two books coming out. One is fiction, one's nonfiction. The fiction book is Life Knows No Bounds, A Blessing and a Curse, about a girl who sees in, a woman who sees into the future, and it looks kind of grim. She takes a trip to the islands, and, you know, she finds herself, so to speak. Almost like a Stella finds her groove, but not quite. The other book is Shortcuts to Great Writing, and I did that because a lot of the students, especially a lot of the African-American and Hispanic kids, having problems passing the SAT and the ACT and getting into college, and it's usually that essay that does it. So because I had come up with a shortcut to getting started writing your essays or to write your essay in 25 minutes, and I taught it to my students, and a lot of my students had, you know, did really well in college from it, so I decided that, me and my board decided that we would put that book out there. So that book is Shortcuts to Great Writing, and both of those books will be out in the spring. Spring of 2011.
All right. So are you doing any book signings or any, are you getting into that as the author side of you, the author's hat? Will you be doing any appearances or anything coming up?
Well, right now we're working on doing something at the East Orange Public Library. They have an event they're putting together, and I'll post more information on that on Facebook. The same thing with Newark Public Library. Sandwiches Unlimited, I'll be there in September, October, maybe either the end of September or beginning of October. And right now we're really putting our efforts into a magazine, a fundraising magazine, Runaway Publishing. Yeah, so we'll be reaching out to all of the authors and publishers, you know, to see if they want to advertise and get their books out there. We're going to send them to a few email blasts to reach a couple 100,000 people. And we're also going to have them in the tri-state area of New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and New York. We're going to do like two prints, so about 6,000 copies spread out.
All right. Well, you sound like you have a lot going on with your company as well as you're getting into the writing. So, and you're very professional about it. I'm glad that sound like your company's
you.
up and going with the board and all that. That's good. So hopefully one day
I'll
get to that point. I'm trying to get.
Oh, you will.
Myself.
You know what you do, pace yourself. That's what I tell people, pace yourself, because there's a lot of people who you see their names everywhere you look, and that's okay, because some of the people that I know who just bailed out, and a lot of people don't even know they bailed out yet, a lot of them, or a couple of them bailed out because they said it was too much, but that's why I said pace yourself. Just take your time.
Right.
Not like it's a race or nothing like that, but, they know, in racing, they always tell people if you pace yourself, you'll make it to the finish line. So we just got to pace ourselves, that's all.
And you know, that's exactly what I'm going to do. But, you know, Andrea, I'm so glad that you was able to come on. I really enjoyed this interview with you. And we definitely
want to
keep up with you and definitely have you back if you'll come back.
Great.
We definitely want to have you back. Like, when you do future, you know, your stuff as it comes out, we'll have you on the show and you can talk about it and give
us
more
great.
Tips on how to get this company going.
Okay,
so
great.
So do you have anything
and
else you want to say before you go?
Well, look out for, I'm working on two biographies, George Clinton, working on his biography, and I just jumped on board with another friend of mine, King Jack Moose, and his story. So those two things are on the way, and you'll hear more about
all
those.
Right. Well, you know, I'm looking forward to that, especially the George Clinton one, because I am definitely a punk, Parliament Punkadelic fan. So,
yeah,
I definitely want to get that one. So, but we
great,
thank you for
great.
Coming on the show, and I'm definitely going to keep up with you on Facebook and everything, and we're friends now, so
yeah,
that's
yeah,
where
good,
it goes.
We've been friends for a minute, though, but keep in touch, and we'll talk about that screenplay. Get in touch with me.
I sure will, and we
Alrighty.
Thank you for coming on. Okay.
Thank you very much for having me.
And no problem.
Bye-bye.
And this is Word Sexy Radio, as you heard. You heard Andrea Clinton, and she's been on the show, and we're definitely going to get her back on. She's got a lot of things going on, and if you are out there and you're trying to get your literary game going, you definitely want to come on and listen to Word Sexy Radio, because we do talk about hot things as well as on how to get your business going in that aspect, not just sexual things. But this is it. So we thank you all for listening, and be back next Monday. We'll be back.